So I'm here with Eddie Palmgren, who is the host of the Red Eyes podcast, Investing by the Books. And we actually did an interview 3 years ago on Growth Day, where you were presenting the ideas behind the podcast. And a lot has happened since then.
Definitely. And 3 years later, we're still running it. It's me and my colleague, Niklas Savås, who's doing it. And we release one episode every 4 weeks. And our ambition is for people to read more. We want to educate people. And some people feel like it's so difficult to read. It takes so much time. But actually, if you read 15 pages every day, that equals more than 5,000 pages in 1 year. And that is roughly 20, 25 books. And if you double those numbers, 30 pages a day, which is not impossible, then you actually read more than 10,000 pages in one year, and that's basically 50 books. So that can contain so many lessons. You have maybe one insight from one book or maybe two, but that could be worth it because the price of the book is not that high and you can learn so much. So we really want more people to read, and that can help them to take better decisions both in life and in investing. So we are, of course, book believers, and we have continued this with 58 episodes so far. And this is the latest one we had, a real doorstopper, the Salén story, where we spoke about the third generation, Staffan Salén, who is now running it. Each episode features one or two guests. We talk about one book, and the books, they don't have to be investing related, but the conversation will always be. So this is the foundation of it. And then so far, we have talked to guests from more than 10 countries. And we have seen that 2/3 of all the guests, they are based in the US. And we have had a large different types of people on the podcast. Of course, many are fund managers running a family office or a bigger institution. But many of them are, we have had investigative journalists. We have had professors, several from Columbia Business School. And we have also had many operators, actually. So it's been a fascinating journey so far, and we hope to continue.
Wow. And who is listening to the podcast?
Yeah, it's hard to know exactly who's listening, but so far we've had more than 100,000 plays last year only, in 2023.
How
so
many?
100,000.
100,000, wow.
On all the episodes during 2023. So, of course, we know that some are very loyal and they listen to all episodes, and some listen to some of them. But I think the impression that we get is that it's a very sophisticated audience. We have, on one hand, it's the fund managers, the analysts, family offices, people who are investments. That's all they do. And then, of course, many private investors as well. And then on the other hand, we know that there are many operators from companies, board representatives, investor relations officers, and so on. So there are many different types of people listening. And we have been in Omaha for the Berkshire meeting. And the people we talked to there, almost everyone knows about the podcast. They listen to it. So we think that's a great testament to the type of audience that we want to attract and that we have a similar mindset like. And to give you some numbers, we can see on Spotify, which is one of our larger platforms, we know that 60% of the listeners are age 28 to 44. And we can see that the majority of listeners are from the Nordics and North America. But we also have many listeners in India, Singapore, Australia, and so on. And more than 100 countries have been listening to the podcast from all geographies and continents of the world.
So in the beginning, how long did it take before you got the first responses?
That was quite instantly, I think. Immediately when we launched the first episode there in the summer of 21, we started to get some feedback. But of course, it has been growing, accumulating over time and compounding, and one thing leads to another. So it hasn't really been this one spike, maybe. It has been growing over time.
Okay. So which is the most popular episode?
Yeah, we can
so
see
far?
That there's one episode that has a bit more listening than the others, and that's episode 13 with Chris Mayer, where we spoke about his book, 100 Baggers. And this is a fantastic phenomenon, looking at stocks returning 100 times your money. It's hard to grasp that those stocks exist out there. But he did a study covering 50 years, and he saw that there were 365 stocks, according to his criteria, that fitted that description. And they returned, from investing 10,000 kroner, for example, you got 1 million back, or even more. So it's...
So that recipe is out there.
Yeah, it's out there, and it's possible for anyone to achieve those kind of returns.
Yeah.
But of course, it's not that easy. But Chris lays out this very well in the book, and one way to get there is what he calls the twin engines. So we can hear Chris talk about this in episode 13 of Investing by the Books podcast.
Yeah, the twin engines are very helpful. They can do so. The twin engines, one is you just have a lot of growth. So if you have you know, a company is compounding sales at 20% a year, that's a nice a tailwind, obviously. But combined, if you have a stock that's trading at, say, you know, 15 times earnings when you get involved, and 10 years later, after 10 years of 20% growth, it also now is trading at 45 times earnings. Obviously, that can do a lot of work for you and get you to that 100 banker status quicker. And so many of those 100 baggers had some sort of tailwind like that. And they were amazing companies. I mean, there have been times when you were able to get them at very low multiples of earnings and cash flow because of cyclical bear markets or something like that.
That was one highlight. I know you have more.
Yeah, there's many.
Yeah.
But one is definitely the area of serial acquirers.
Yeah.
And this is something we came into thanks to the podcast. And it was in episode 12 where we spoke to Technion, a Swedish serial acquirer, a person there, Daniel Chang. We talked to him about his book and investment thinking toolbox. And then in the next episode, as we heard now, we talked to Chris Mayer. And they got to know each other from the podcast. And Chris had already invested in another Swedish serial acquirer, Lifco. And he and Daniel got along well. And it took some time, but eventually Chris invested in Technion. And he's one of the largest shareholders now. And now he also entered the board. So it's really funny to see these kind of connection form thanks to the podcast. And we have other examples with stretching from North America to Japan and everywhere in between, where people connect, find each other, and collaborate on ideas. So that's really a highlight. And for the serial acquirers, for those not familiar with it, it's basically companies who are able to reinvest their cash flows into buying private businesses. Usually they are small, family-owned, and that's a way for them to compound very well over time. And we have had other guests on the podcast. In episode 14, we actually talked to Patrik Wallén, who's the chairman of Volati, another Swedish serial acquirer. And throughout the podcast, we have had a number of guests somehow related to what we call serial acquirers. And one aspect of serial acquirers, I mean, you need to have a management team and a board that really thinks long-term and capital allocation. They need to be able to deploy the capital really well. And one way to do that is what we do in our book here, our CEO's book, Quality First Investing, that we also covered on the podcast in episode 17. Then one third of the book basically is the people aspect and what is a good management team and how do they do it. So we talked to one of the most famous books and authors in this regard, the capital allocation aspect, William Thorndike. He wrote a book called The Outsiders, and this one is very famous, and we picked it up 10 years after it was published and talked about it to see his lessons. So let's hear William Thorndike in episode 30 of Investing by the Books talk about how to find the outsider CEOs.
I think it takes a long time to be able to sort of definitively make the call on a CEO as a, you know, as a capital allocator. I think it's around a decade before you really know. And that's, you know, enough time so you can view the actions taken, acquisitions, repurchases, special dividends, whatever, and sort of put them in the context of, you know, how they've performed relative to expectations. So that's a long time before you can sort of have enough data to really feel that you can confidently make the call. Before that, I think you do get lots of signals, you know, hints, markers, and a lot of them come from, you know, the vocabulary they use, the actual word choice. How do they talk about what are the things they emphasize in their shareholder letters, you know, in their investor communications generally, if they have an investor day? They get extra credit if they're expressing things in per share terms, just being aware of the, you know, the importance of any decision in terms of its impact on the value per share, in terms of the overall number itself. You get credit if you focus on, you know, the core cash economics. If you talk about, if you are calculating, you know, cash-based IRRs You're talking about free cash flow generation. You're talking about unit economics. If you're crisp and clear about the goals you have for new investments, whether it's a new plant or an acquisition or a large stock repurchase, if you're clear about what your goals are for what you think you can, and then you actually hit them. This is what there's just sort of a pattern that those things often fit in. And so I do think that's, it's really signals that might guide your research. You then need to do the work and spend time with the people and, kind of track the results, over time. But, I do think there are some early warning signals. Yeah.
Interesting. I know you prepared one more highlight.
I did. And it regards behavior, because we know finding the stocks is one thing, but then to actually hold on to them, that's really difficult. And you need a specific type of mindset to do that. And one book that I would like to highlight that we spoke with Ian Castle about in episode 47 is Golf is Not a Game of Perfect. And I think this is something that many people can relate to. It's written by a sports psychologist with many lessons about golf. But throughout the book, you can replace golfer to investor and golfing to investing. And he mentions that there are so many parallels between golf and investing. All these mental models and mental games that consistently exist. And Ian tells a funny story with his high school golf coach teacher, who was an 81-year-old man. And he said, "I'm going to beat you playing one-handed. I know I can do that." And Ian was like, "Sure." But he thought, "That's impossible. He can't do that." But then they actually played, and he lost. He played worse. The other guy played a little bit better with one hand, 81-year-old. So he beat him, and the teacher said afterwards, "I knew I would beat you as soon as I saw your eyes. I know I got into your head, and you can never let that happen again." So there are so many lessons. And we can hear Ian talk about another thing, another parallel to investing, in episode 47 of Investing by the Books podcast.
The professional golfers he talks to, like 80% of the golf shot is like in that pre-shot routine and setting up to that shot consistently every time, clearing your mind, just thinking about target and swing, and that consistency of that pre-shot routine puts them in the right framework and mental position to be able to execute on that shot consistently. And I think a consistent kind of pre-shot routine in golf is equivalent to a consistent due diligence process. Whether it's the process, the checklist, the framework, the investment principles you apply to new ideas or existing positions, it's that consistency that allows you to kind of benchmark new ideas against what you already own, or new ideas against other new ideas.
Very interesting. I just need to get back to this you were telling about the serial acquirers. It seems like you have been facilitating a global network of people meeting each other.
Yeah, that has definitely happened, both from the podcast, but also visiting Omaha and then arranging a conference here in Stockholm now 4 years in a row, where we bring all of these people together, both from operators and investors. So that's been really fun. So and thanks to the podcast.
Yeah. So do you see any other groups that you can facilitate to meet each other?
I guess it would be a book club.
Yeah. So going forward, I guess you won't stop now.
There's no plans of that. No. So we look forward to read many more books, talk to many more guests. And the next episode, which will be out on June 25, is an episode that I'm really thrilled about. I'm looking forward to it. And we spoke to Chris Waller. And Chris Waller is an American investor. He's based in New York City. And he has a fund called Plural Investing, which he is the founder of and the portfolio manager of. So the book that we spoke about with him, we actually asked him, we met him in Omaha, and now we asked him, is there a book that stood out for you and that you would like to talk about? And he selected a quite unexpected book. It's called We Are Bellingcat. It has nothing to do with investing, but we can get a sneak peek from Chris for the next episode here in this interview. So let's hear Chris Waller speak about We Are Bellingcat in episode 59 of Investing by the Books podcast.
When I read the book, it wasn't specifically investment minded. I didn't read the book thinking this will be useful for investing. And I was really surprised by some of the stories where this organization and this person was able to understand things that were happening whether it's in Ukraine or Syria or different regions around the world. And often in these cases, understand better than even the professional intelligence agencies. So that really surprised me. And I think there are a lot of lessons that you can draw as an investor, which is why it's had an impact on my approach.
So the book that Chris talks about is related to something else that we have talked about in the podcast. It's called sleuthing, or the scuttlebutt approach. How do you actually do primary research, channel checks? You go out into the field, you talk to people, suppliers, competitors, and you learn insights that are really useful and unique to you. And that's something that we want to do as analysts here at RedEye and investors. And what that author that we talked about in the podcast before, he says that you can't sit behind your desk, sip coffee and do this. You have to get out. But what Chris is talking about in this book and what they have done, this intelligence network that he talks about, I mean, they have been speaking about totally different matters. It's the war in Syria and this Malaysian Airlines that was shot down. These are the things that they have uncovered the truth of by using digital sources. They have looked at everything on Twitter and so on, and they found a lot of nuggets, and they can piece that together and find the traces of this missile, for example, and who did it. But what Chris shows about, and we will hear more about that when the episode is released, but it's how can you use this? How can you go through LinkedIn and find different pieces of evidence that you can piece together in your research work? So I think that will be a really interesting episode, and looking forward to release it in a couple of weeks now.
And then, of course, my question would be if you have any book recommendations for the summer.
Yeah, it's a good time to read, like always, but definitely many more people pick up a book in the summer. It's difficult with book recommendations because it's subjective, but one that I think everyone should read, it's called Deep Survival by Lawrence Gonzalez. It's again not an investing book per se. There are many stories about the people who, many of the stories are outdoors, people going into nature, and then some people survive in a really specific situation, which is really tough, and some people, they don't survive. And why did some people survive and why did some people not survive? Because most of us, we're so comfortable here in the city, and everything is at our fingertips. But when you go out in nature, then suddenly something can happen. You get lost, an accident happens, and you're not prepared. So Howard Marks, a legendary investor, usually says, you can't predict, but you can prepare. And this is the same with this book. It really shows you how to position yourself and how to be ready for whatever can happen. So this is a book that I would really recommend to everyone, investor or not.
What's the name?
Deep Survival.
Deep
and
Survival.
And you can hear our interview. We talked about it in episode 41 with Jake Taylor.
Okay. So we're going to end this, but lastly, so how do I find the podcast if I want to listen to it?
Yeah, it's available on redeye.se, of course. We're also on Spotify, Apple, these kind of platforms, wherever you listen to podcasts. And now recently, we have also started having video and are now on YouTube. So you can find us on Investing by the Books there. And then we have a social media account. We use X or Twitter. And the handle there is @IB_RedEye. So there we have had a few book giveaways, for example, with signed books, and share some other content. So please follow us there. And if you have any recommendations of guests, books, or if you have any other feedback, want to rate and review us, please let us know. We really look forward to interact and see you in Stockholm or somewhere else.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you so much, Lars. Thank you for listening to Investing by the Books, a podcast by RedEye. Follow us on Twitter @IB_RedEye and email us at ib.podcast@redeye.se. To improve, we'd love to hear your feedback, so please rate and review us. Notice that the content in this podcast is not and shall not be construed as investment advice. This information is meant to be informative and for general purposes only. For full disclaimer, visit redeye.se. I'm your host, Eddie Palmian, and until next time, I sincerely wish you the best of luck on your journey through life and investing.